You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, certified financial planner, and accredited estate planner on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And you can listen to prior shows on that website as well. Today is February 26, 2014. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 16,198. The NASDAQ at 4,292. And the S&P closed at 1,845. Last week, we discussed legal considerations for same-sex and non-traditional couples. Attorney Kirby Upright from King Spry Law Offices in Bethlehem was my guest, and he did a fantastic job. I got lots of great feedback from the show. I really appreciate him being here. We're really lucky to have someone who's a leader in the field right here in Bethlehem. So thank you, Kirby, for being here last week. You really did a great job. We'll invite him back to follow up probably in another 6 months or so. Tonight, we're taking your tax questions. I will also be discussing funding retirement accounts. I'll use that as filler for taking tax questions. We are live, and we are here to take your questions. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann. She's here in the studio taking your calls. She'll write the question down and bring it in to me. If you're comfortable talking live on air, she'll put you through to the studio, and we can have some dialogue about your question. So she will take your information, and also we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without confusion and without delay. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I do typically have a topic each week, you could still ask questions off topic as well, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So you can also send questions through that website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And if we don't catch it this evening, I'll follow up with you when I can. All right, so let's get going. So the lines are open for your tax questions. As you try to complete your tax return or have questions about what you do with some of that tax information that you receive, I will try to help. Sometimes folks don't understand the documents that they're getting. There's all kinds of codes on our documents now, and some of those codes may be important to you. Later, as we go through the show, I think I'm going to reference some of the codes that we see on a 1099-R. Since I'm also talking about retirement accounts tonight, I'll go over some of the codes we see on the 1099-R. There's lots more codes on the W-2 this year, and some of those codes are important for you, and some of them are just informational. So you want to pay attention, especially if you're preparing your own tax return. One of the biggest planning opportunities for you to for you when you're doing your tax return is to review what's going on with retirement accounts. I think one of the reasons this comes up at tax time is because all of a sudden you're gathering all your tax documents and you're kind of confronted with what you've done as far as savings. We see that information on our W-2, or maybe we don't see it if we're not saving. Sometimes if we do have retirement accounts, the custodian is sending those Form 5498s to us. It tells us what the balance is at 12/31 of the last year end. It sometimes will tell us what our contributions were, or what our withdrawals are. If it's an IRA, if it's a Roth, if it's an IRA rollover. So we start to see some of that information. We'll see our investment accounts. And some of us may be riddled with guilt if we see that we're not saving money and we don't have interest statements or dividend statements. So why not start planning today? Start planning when you're working on your tax return for 2013 and say, how can I do a better job in 2014? So we're going to talk tonight about the importance of saving for retirement. We're going to talk about some of the options you have, what different types of retirement accounts are available depending on what your capacity is, and ways to fund your retirement. Let's look at some ideas to help you start funding it if you haven't been, or maybe you want to do a little bit more. And then, as I said, we'll talk about 1099-Rs, what's reported on them, and how are they taxed. So to help us in our topic this evening, I go to, quite often, the Department of Labor. There's always lots of information on the Department of Labor's website, dol.gov, because it is one of their missions. And in fact, I think I found when I was reading some information there that under an act from, gosh, what year was it? I don't even remember, 1978, maybe, I don't know. They're supposed to be giving educational information about how to save. So if folks aren't taking advantage of that, then that's a lot of wasted government money. So make sure that you go on dol.gov and look for information to help you save for your retirement. So some of the things, they have a brochure. It's called Top 10 Ways to Prepare for Retirement. And the facts are fewer than half of Americans have calculated how much they need to save for retirement. And in 2012, 30% of private industry workers with access to a defined contribution plan, that's like a 401k plan, did not participate. 30% did not participate. And the average American spends 20 years in retirement. That's an awfully long time. And many people spend much longer than that in retirement. If you're living to 90 and you retired at 62, you're looking at 30 years almost in retirement. So average American is 20 years. So that's a long time to live without earned income if you're retired and you're not working. So how do you pay for your expenses during that period of time? Well, hopefully you've saved something in retirement accounts. Back in the day, older generation may have had pensions. We've talked about this many times on the show. We don't see pensions as often anymore. That burden and responsibility has shifted from the employer to the employee, to you, the individual. It's no longer the employer's responsibility to necessarily take care of your retirement. We still see some employers at least offering a retirement benefit, typically called a 401k plan. Some hospitals and governmental agencies have 403b plans as a mechanism for you to be able to save money through payroll deduction. And then sometimes they also put money in. The employer sometimes is putting money in. So it's shifted from a pension where the employer took care of you to a 401k, 403b mechanism where they may be helping out, but the burden rest more on you, the worker, to save. And some folks don't even have access to retirement accounts at work. And then that is more of a burden for you to figure out a way. How do you save? What are your options? So that is some of what we're going to talk about tonight. What are your options depending on whether or not you're an employee and if your employer offers a plan for you or not? And then, even if you do have one available to you, how do you start putting money into it and funding it? So we're going to go over some of those ideas. The biggest point is to start saving and to keep saving and think about your goals. If you set some goals, then you feel like you're accomplishing something, and it's much easier to get going in the direction you want if you've either written it down, documented it, vocalized it and have a plan for your retirement. So when we come back, we will talk more about retirement accounts. But at the same time, if you have tax questions, it's a great time to call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking tonight about funding retirement accounts, different kinds, ways to do it, but also taking your tax questions. One of the things we like to do during tax season is try to give the listeners ample opportunities to call in with questions. From time to time, I have guests with topics, and in fact, next week I have a guest coming on and we have a topic, so I won't be as available to answer tax questions next week. So we try to open the lines during tax season to answer tax questions to help you move along with the preparation of your tax return, give you some ideas, maybe help you out, guide you a little bit. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can call in and talk live or give your question to Judy Ann and she will bring it into the studio. So the lines are really open for you. I'm just filling in with this retirement account business. But retirement accounts are always a good topic of conversation. Usually we get a lot of phone calls about retirement savings as well. So I figured it would dovetail nicely into talking about taxes. So the main idea is to start saving, and recall that you start saving a little bit at a time, and then pretty soon it builds up, and then you don't have to work as hard at saving because your money is going to start earning something. So hopefully that'll help get you going. We do have a call. We have a caller on line one. Ron, can you hear me? Hello, Ron.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, I have a couple of questions. First, involving retirement. I'm getting ready for retirement. I think I'm in pretty good shape, but the one thing I'm concerned about is the rate of taxation. I will have a pension. Mm-hmm. I will have Social Security. So can you give me some guidelines of what that might look like? Is it based on how much you will actually, you know, be accruing as far as income? Is that your tax rate, or is it a flat tax rate for all retirees?
No, Ron. Good question. There are tax tables that we have to refer to, and it does depend on your income on page one. And what kind of income that is, it may depend on how much will be taxable. So, for example, you said you had a pension, and you haven't retired yet, but you have a pension. You also said you might have Social Security. Ron, can I ask how old you are?
I am going to be 61 next month.
Okay. What happens with Social Security is you really can't start collecting until 62, and that's early Social Security. And you actually, if you start collecting, you have a permanent reduction in your benefit. So one of the things I suggest to people when they're thinking about retirement is if you do a little forecasting, Ron, it would help. And I don't know if you're single or married, but
I'm married.
Okay. One of the things that happens with Social Security, once you start collecting, how much of it gets taxed or how much of it is included in your taxable income depends on how much other income you have.
Okay.
So what you want to do is run numbers and kind of look, because maybe your pension would be enough for you to live on for a while, or maybe your pension with a little bit of money coming out of your retirement accounts, rather than collecting the Social Security early with a permanent reduction. You want to have someone kind of look at the numbers to see if by delaying collecting Social Security, you'll get more benefit later and possibly more benefit for a surviving spouse. So there's lots of like moving parts, because Social Security, you have your worker's benefit. There may be a spousal benefit. Your spouse may have a benefit. She may collect on yours. Okay. There's survivor benefits. So I suggest you kind of look at whether or not you need that Social Security yet, when you can build up more benefits. Some people will argue and say, hey, but I don't think Social Security is going to be around. I'm going to get it while I can. Well, you know, I've had someone from Social Security on a number of times, and they, you know, are sure that there's going to be fixes in the system. But sometimes this is a great opportunity, a great period of time for you to say, if I take my pension, maybe that's enough for my cash flow, and maybe I could do IRA conversions to Roth, maybe I could put extra income on my tax return, or maybe not. So then when we look at page one, if you don't have the Social Security, it's pretty much going to be any interest, dividends in your pension. And then you have your itemized deductions if you have a homeowner, and you might have real estate taxes and mortgage interest, charitable contributions. But if you don't have that, you might have a standard deduction. And then you have your exemption for you and your wife. So after you take all that off, then you have your taxable income. And that's when you go to the tax tables. And those tax tables are available on, you know, IRS.gov. And you can kind of see where you are. A lot of times people will say, oh, I'm in the 25% tax bracket. And they'll think all of their income is getting taxed at 25%. And that's not the case at all. Because the tax rates, some of your income could be taxed at zero, but some could be at 10%, 15%, 25%. So you really have to know the table. But a lot of people don't understand the complication of Social Security and when that would get taxed and how that's included in your income, depending on how much other income you have.
Okay. I also had a second question. This is for my son, who's just started his career, if I might ask that.
Sure.
Okay, basically, he's 30. He just turned 31. Actually, today's his birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
So he's just, he's been working for a couple of years, putting something away in an IRA of sorts. He's changed companies, but in his current company, he still has that option. Is there an amount that he should be putting away, considering he's, you know, probably 30 years out or whatever for retirement? What should he... I know he could save, you know, save something, but is there an actual amount, like if you save $1,000... or $5,000 a year or something. I don't know. Can I give him any guidelines on what he should really be putting away?
Ron, he should be putting away as much as he can.
Right.
and there might be a couple different ways to do that. One of the things I try to alert younger folks to is the opportunity to put money into a Roth IRA. A Roth does not save any income taxes today. But sometimes the younger you are, you might not have reached your full earning potential yet. So you might still be in a low tax bracket. So one thing I like people to think about is if you're in a 15% tax bracket, a lower tax bracket, you might want to look at considering a Roth IRA. And if your income is below a certain threshold, and don't tell me his income or anything, but let's pretend he's single. And if his income's under $112,000, he could put $5,500 into a Roth IRA. Okay. Now, you might say, well, he doesn't even have $5,500, Lori. Well, he could put $2,000 or $3,000. There's no, he doesn't have to put the full amount in. What you want to do then is look and see if they charge fees, you know, for doing a Roth. But if he's in a 25% tax bracket, then I might say if he thinks he's going to be in a 25% bracket today while he's working, and he's going to be in a really low tax bracket when he retires, that's when you want to do the regular pre-tax contributions where you get the tax deduction today for federal. And again, it would be try to save as much as he can. But Ron, he also needs to make sure he's saving for emergencies. And that he doesn't have debt in order to save. So
his debt is pretty good. He's handling his money well. But so I should basically tell him to look. He makes between 60 and 70, and so I'm thinking, you know, maybe he should go with the Roth at this point, but say at 112, that's not a good idea anymore, or?
Well, I just, the other idea about the Roth is that he can always take out his original contributions if he needs to.
Okay.
So the beautiful thing about that is, you know, it doesn't feel as permanent as the 401k or the 403b.
Right.
I really don't like people to tap it, but in order to get someone to do it, you kind of have to give them that little incentive and that little safety
net. Yeah, they have some emergency money if they actually need it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's something I'd look at. Okay?
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. You've been very helpful to me and my son.
Okay, great, Ron. Thank you. Have a good night. Folks, we had one more call, which was off air, and I'll take that when I come back from the break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY-FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. And now for an update from the WFMZ Channel 69 News and Traffic Center. In Allentown, an accident has been reported on I-78 East at Lehigh Street. Expect heavy delays in both directions. Again, an accident has been reported on I-78 East at Lehigh Street. Expect heavy delays in both directions. The time now is 6:21 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. And our last caller, Ron, had some great questions, and that tied in very well with tax planning and looking at retirement accounts and trying to watch ahead, what's going to happen ahead. And for his son, saving as much as you can. And a combination of maybe doing that in an employer retirement account, maybe in an account for emergency savings, and maybe using a Roth if that's available as well. So lots of great questions that dovetail into our topic tonight. We had another call off air. Jackie called from Bethlehem. She said, my mother is trying to give dollars out to avoid some taxes. Is it true she can only give $14,000 to direct descendants, children, or do grandchildren qualify without consequence? Yes, Jackie, any of us can give gifts to anyone. The $14,000 comes in for something we refer to as the annual exemption for federal purposes. The IRS says if anyone can give a gift of $14,000 or less to anyone without having to file a gift tax return. Gift tax returns need to be filed if it's over $14,000, but it doesn't mean a gift tax is due. What that means is anytime you gift more than $14,000 in any one year to any one individual, you start tapping into your lifetime gifting amount, and that right now is $5,340,000. So there's lots of room there for gifting without having to pay a gift tax. Now, to your question, so anyone can gift to anyone. So mom can gift to you, could gift to your husband, could gift to your children, $14,000. If mom is still married and dad is still around or she has a new husband, spouses can also split gifts. So she could do $28,000 to one person, splitting it with her spouse. So that would be like each of them giving it to you. What that saves, Jackie, is to the extent that mom reduces her estate, it has a couple different implications. One, it would reduce, if she's a Pennsylvania resident, it reduces her Pennsylvania estate. Maybe she's not subject to a federal estate. Federal estate exemption is $5,340,000. So she definitely, you know, could be looking at gifting. If she's under that, there, as residents of Pennsylvania, we also have some savings on inheritance tax because gifts to children or grandchildren are normally taxed at death at 4.5%. So to the extent mom gifts $14,000 out to whomever, that reduces her estate as long as she survives the gift by a year. Pennsylvania looks back 1 year. And in that look back, they give you a $3,000 exemption, not $14,000. But if mom survives the year, that gift is out of her Pennsylvania estate. So as long as she's, you know, totally given it. So you would save 4.5% on that $14,000 if mom were to have died and now she's reduced her estate by that amount. So yes, mom can gift to anyone. It doesn't even have to be the kids or the children, but that saves her 4.5%. Okay, so that was good. Thank you, Jackie, for calling that in. We have another question that came in. Let me give the phone number, and you're welcome to call and talk live on air as well. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Bill called. Bill said, if you are paying for a daughter's wedding, can that count as a gift or must you give the money directly to her? This is so interesting, Bill, because what's funny is I think many of us think of a gift as like handing cash over to someone. A gift of a wedding, because I did just have a wedding last year for my daughter, and I certainly didn't consider it like a gift, like that I was handing it over to her because I was paying the bills, you know, to the hotel, etc. So I did not consider that as a gift. I considered that as, you know, just some expenses I was paying, and I was the one paying them. I didn't make it directly payable to my daughter at all. So if you're paying for your daughter's wedding, I would say, and you're paying the expenses directly, I don't consider that a gift. That's you throwing a party. And don't make it such a big party that it puts you in debt or anything. So I wouldn't make that a gift. That's just expenses that you're paying. You say, must you give the money directly? No, I don't think so. And it's, you know, just out of pocket. So that's also reducing your estate as well, if that's why you're trying to do it that way and count it as a gift. All right, folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Lots of great questions coming in, and I love questions. So you can call live on air or off air, whatever makes you comfortable, or through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Back to the little brochure from the Department of Labor, DOL.gov, the top 10 ways to prepare for retirement. We talked about saving, saving, saving. It also talked about knowing your retirement needs. This is where you have that goal. So you kind of have to know what you're going to need. And the brochure goes on to say that retirement is expensive, and experts estimate that you will need at least 70% of your pre-retirement income, and lower earners will need 90% or more to maintain their standard of living when they stop working. Those seem like incredibly high numbers to me. I'm not sure how people live, but I'm hoping that I will continue to work until I can pay off my house and pay off my bills and that kind of thing. And then once I retire, I don't plan on doing anything expensive. Certainly, I don't plan on spending money the way I spend money while I'm working. But who knows? So I guess it's to keep in mind that if you are someone who plans to have kind of more extravagant expenditures in your retirement, maybe you're still going to have a mortgage, then maybe you just need to think about working longer. And if you work longer, then you can work down those expenses, those fixed expenses you might have. And it would also give you that opportunity to save a little bit more for your retirement. And keep in mind, folks, that, you know, Social Security bases their projections on what your monthly benefit is going to be over your work history, and they look at the last or the highest 35 years of working and then base their estimate on that, your estimated projected benefit. So if you don't have 35 years of working or you plan on retiring earlier, those projections may not be quite accurate. And it may not have a huge impact if, you know, you're just a year or two off, but you might want to make sure that you understand what your actual benefit will be if you retire early as well. So know your retirement needs. Know how you're going to spend money in your retirement. Know your habits and how you're going to be. Right now, while I'm working, most of my money is being spent on my children, I would say, and gas driving back and forth to work, and my gas driving to the college and the volleyball games and to Michigan and all kinds of things like that. But, you know, once I retire, I certainly don't think I'll be doing that. I don't know. So plan for your retirement. Folks, if you have questions, tax questions in particular this evening, the lines are open. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is proud to present the 14th annual Heart of the Valley Antique Show on March 1st and 2nd. Come see 25 exhibitors featuring Americana, including quilts, textiles, pottery, painted, country and formal furniture, toys, and much more. The show will be held in the historic Charles Brown Ice House in the heart of historic Bethlehem. For show hours, directions, and ticket information, visit WDIY.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about taxes tonight and retirement accounts as well, kind of filling in between callers' questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air or off air, whatever is most comfortable for you. I made a comment earlier, and I want to go back to it because the Department of Labor, in their little brochure, The Top 10 Ways to Prepare for Retirement, they mention, consider basic investment principles. They say how you save can be as important as how much you save. Recall in my little example what I said, you know, if you save and you start with a little bit and eventually you start getting a bigger pot and a bigger pot and a bigger pot. And then there's not as much hard work for you to do because you hopefully have just started systematically invest, you know, saving and things like that. But also that money starts to earn money if you have it invested. Now, granted, folks, if you have it all in cash, that money's not going to be working for you. So you do want to make sure that you are looking at how you have it invested. And in fact, next week I have a guest on the show. Kevin Bergius will be with us, and we're going to talk about things to consider when creating a portfolio. So hopefully we will be able to kind of come back and visit this as well. Jeff, I have a caller on line one. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, long time no talk to.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We've been listening, though.
That's okay, good, great. How can I help you?
Right now, I am contributing 20% of my total income to my 401k.
Great.
15% goes to the regular pre-tax 401k.
Uh-huh.
And I have 5% going to the 401k, but as a Roth IRA.
Okay, good.
And I'm wondering if it would be better to increase the Roth. Like, should I make them both 10%?
Well, Carolyn, without giving me too much information, I don't like people to disclose too much personal stuff. On the radio. But what I would think about, and this is how you can think, you say, what kind of tax bracket am I in now? And what kind of tax bracket do I think I'm going to be in the future? And remember, if you were listening to the whole show, you heard me talking to Ron earlier where I said, Ron, if you start taking your Social Security, you've got to remember some of your Social Security might be taxed depending on how much other income you have.
Right.
So and the opportunity when people retire before they start collecting Social Security is sometimes they can, you know, maybe take money out of their retirement accounts or convert it or whatever. So let's pretend you're in a high tax bracket today and you think you're going to be in a low tax bracket when you retire. Well, then I would probably shift to the pre-tax contributions. If you are in a low tax bracket today and you're going to be in a high tax bracket in the future, then I would shift to the Roth. if it doesn't matter one way or another, then it doesn't matter which option you have. And mm-hmm. so then you're probably okay kind of hedging both ways, which is what you're doing.
Right.
So it kind of depends on your own situation. So I can't give you specific advice in the show. But if you kind of look at those general guidelines, see if that, thinking that through, if that helps you make a decision of which way to shift. So, again, if you're kind of going to be in the same tax bracket all the time.
I basically expect that.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little lower. I'm sure it's not going to be a higher bracket.
Yeah. Well, then if you're maybe a little higher now, then this allocation might not be too bad because you're kind of hedging just in case. So the nice thing about the 15% going to the 401k, that's not taxable to you today for federal.
Mm-hmm.
But the Roth... it's taxable, in essence, you're using after-tax dollars, but when you retire, you could roll over that Roth piece of your 401k into a Roth IRA and then tap that as you need it without any income taxes, or let it continue to grow for your future beneficiaries or for your future retirement or if you have an emergency or something. Sometimes when people only have retirement accounts to tap from when they retire, and let's pretend they need $20,000. Well, you throw $20,000 on your tax return along with some other income, you might end up paying a lot of income tax. So it's kind of nice to have some other investment vehicle other than just IRA money or 401k money.
Okay, which we do have. We have a nice, say, a few months cushion.
Okay, good. Yeah. But that Roth piece that when you retire that you can roll out, that'll give you even a little bit more.
Okay.
So I think that's a good.
Okay. Thank you.
Carolyn, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Hey, terrific.
Okay,
thank you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we had someone call John from Allentown. He said, explain the Pennsylvania 529 plan. He understands that there are two plans. What's the difference? John, what it is 529 stands for the Internal Revenue Code section that established some tax benefits for college savings way back in the day. And I think Michigan actually was even one of the first states, I'm proud to say, that started these tuition plans. And how they first started was if you made contributions to a state education plan, you would earn or accumulate tuition credits for your student at some future date. So you put money in, you put money in, you put money in. And it was almost as if it was going to be like some guarantee for tuition that would not have increased, you know, with inflation and that kind of thing. So those are like the direct state plans. What happens with those is it's like a tuition credit, and the state is taking a little bit of the risk that if costs go up more than what they had projected in the plan, you're not hurt by that. They might be hurt by it. But if costs don't go up that much and you've put money in the plan and they've done really well, you also might not benefit from the extra, you know, returns that they got. You're just going to get your state kind of your straight tuition kind of credit. The other kind of 529 plan is like a state sponsored plan, but through a custodian. And that kind of plan you're making contributions to, but you're taking a little bit more of the risk in your investment selections, such that you can invest in this type of 529 plan, usually with a major fund company. It could be a Vanguard, it could be American Funds, it could be TIA-CREF, I think, even has one. Delaware, there's all kinds of different custodians that have partnered with the states where individuals can put money into their plan. You pick the investments, and then if you get a great, great return, maybe you put $10,000 in the plan and it grows to $14,000. Well, yay, then you've got $14,000 to use toward the tuition. So you kind of can play that a little bit better. But granted, you put $10,000 in, and if it loses money and it drops to $6,000, then you only have $6,000, and now you have a loss in the plan. So I hope that kind of explains the two different kinds. I've always been a little confused as to the verbiage of what we call one or the other. So I apologize, I don't have a better definition for you. But one is the, I'll call the state plan, that is directly for tuition. And then the other one is like a sponsored plan that you invest and take more of the risk of the investments. The wonderful thing about Pennsylvania is they give us an income tax deduction on our Pennsylvania return for contributions to the 529 plan, whatever kind of 529 plan. We get a deduction on our Pennsylvania tax return. We don't get deductions on our Pennsylvania tax return for very much. And this is one of them, and it is a big one. It really was to incentivize people to fund college savings plans. It's been great. It's phenomenal. I have lots of people who use it. And you get a deduction up to $14,000, which is that annual exclusion I was referring to earlier with Jackie's phone call. You up to $14,000 per individual, but you also have to have that much income in order to take the deduction. So if you only have, let's say you do two children and you put $28,000 into a plan, but your wages are only $20,000, well, you know, it's a ridiculous example, but makes my point anyway. You would only get the deduction of $20,000, you know, up to the amount of income. Where that comes more into play is if you have one spouse who earns money and the other spouse doesn't. And let's say you put in, you know, $28,000. If not both spouses have income, then we would only get the deduction on the one. Okay, great deduction. Quite often I don't see people maximizing it. So usually they do it to at least as much of the income that they have. So great question, John from Allentown. I appreciate it. Lots of great questions tonight. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can call and talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. We've had a couple live calls tonight and several off air calls. Either one works. 610-758-8810. So in the meantime, we are talking about retirement accounts, the importance of saving, and we want to make sure that you understand if your employer has a retirement account available for you, or if they have a pension. You know, I've talked in the past about making sure when you're considering what job to take, like if you're someone who's looking for jobs, you really have to factor in all the fringe benefits that are available from any employer in order to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. When you're looking for jobs, you want to look at your employer, you want to look at the pay, you want to look at the opportunity for advancement, but you also want to look at the opportunities for fringe benefits. Some employers will have pension plans still, some don't. In fact, most probably don't, but some might still have them. You want to say, do I have a pension plan? For those people who aren't new in the job market, have been at companies for a really long time, ask for an illustration of your pension benefit. You might want to kind of get an idea of what that's looking like. Many of us kind of go along in our jobs and don't realize that while we're working there, we're earning this benefit that will pay us. It's called a defined benefit plan. That's a pension. So you might want to ask your employer for an illustration. Just say you're doing some financial planning and you'd like an illustration of what your pension would look like when you retire. And usually they can do it for a few different ages. You want to understand if you have a 401k plan at work. Can you do after pre-tax contributions? Can you do Roth contributions? How much does your employer put in? Does your employer put it in automatically, whether or not you do? Does your employer only put in money into your retirement plan if you do? So sometimes they do it without you doing anything. Typically, we call that like a safe harbor plan. Sometimes they'll put profit sharing piece in, but companies can manipulate the profits, so sometimes there isn't a profit. So you want to make sure you factor in that maybe you won't get anything. And if they match you, how much do they match you? So for example, sometimes employers will put in half of what you put in up to 6%. Well, that means they're putting in 3%. Folks, you're not getting 3% even at the bank. So if someone's going to give you free money, you've got to kind of, tighten the bootstraps or something and save so that you can get that free money. So make sure you understand. Now, that doesn't mean that's all you should save. You can save more. We've heard earlier, Carolyn said she was saving 20%. You can save up to $17,500 if you're under age 50, and you can do another $5,500 if you're over age 50. So I think it's like, if you add those up, it's like $23,000 that you can save into a 401k plan. If your employer offers a Roth feature, you definitely want to know about that, especially, as I mentioned earlier, if you're a young person who may have not hit your stride and that high earning potential. Maybe you're in a low tax bracket. It's a great opportunity to take advantage of a Roth and start tucking money away into a Roth. You don't have to do it necessarily inside of a employer retirement plan. You can do an individual IRA account or an individual Roth account. An IRA account can be what we call a traditional IRA. That's where we get an income tax deduction today. That's $5,500. If you're over 50, you can do another $1,000. That's $6,500. Up to, you know, but you have to have that earnings. You have to have earnings. I've get asked that question. Can I put money in my IRA? I said, are you working? No. Are you earning any money? No. Well, then you can't put money into your IRA. You could do conversions, but you can't put new money into an IRA unless you have earnings, self-employed earnings or W-2 earnings. So up to $6,500 if you're over age 50. You can do that in a Roth as well. There are some income limitations you have to be aware of, though. The Roth, the limitations are pretty high. Let me see if I can. For married filing joint couple, if you're making under $178,000, you can put money into a Roth with those limits that I mentioned. There's a phase out between $178,000 and $188,000. And if you make over $188,000, you cannot put money into a Roth. You can do a conversion into a Roth, but you cannot put new money into a Roth. And if you're single, it's completely phased out over $127,000, completely available if you're making under $112,000. For folks who are just kind of starting off in the workforce, maybe you're not making a ton of money, but you want to save and you're really committed to doing this, there is something called the Retirement Savers Credit that's still available. It's a great credit. You can't make a lot of money in order to get it. And I don't know if I even have those numbers off the top of my head, for sure not. But if I can find them, I could let you know. But there's some really big credits available with the Retirement Savers Credit. If you're just kind of starting out and not making a lot of money, it's a great incentive. And in fact, it almost helps pay for that. Jeff, did I miss a break?
Yeah, we're close. We could do it.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the show. If you have questions, the number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 22 degrees under fair skies. Tonight, cloudy skies, lows around 8 degrees. Thursday, slight chance of snow. Highs around 31. Friday, sunny skies. Highs around 22. Saturday and Sunday, chance of snow with highs each day around 31 degrees. The time now is 6:48. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thanks, Jeff. If you have questions, we still have a few minutes. The phone number is 610-758-8810. I did quickly find at that break the Retirement Savers Credit information. If you're someone who is saving for retirement and you are married filing joint making let's say less than $35,000. I guess the adjusted gross income, which is page one income, is less than $35,000. There's a credit up to 50% of the amount that you put into the retirement account, but it's capped at $2,000 if you're married filing joint. So you could put $4,000 into a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA or a 401k, whatever kind of retirement vehicle, $4,000. If you're married filing joint, page one income is less than $35,000, you'll get a $2,000 credit. If you're single, it's $1,000. And if you're single, it's the page one income is $17,750 or less. You put $2,000 into a retirement account, you get a, it's a non-refundable tax credit though, folks. So it offsets the income tax that you otherwise have on your return. Well, it might wipe out the income tax that you have on your return at that rate. So then you might save the income tax and you have maybe more money to put into the retirement, to put into the retirement account. So you definitely want to look at that. And if the income goes up a little bit higher, that credit would get reduced from 50% to 20% to 10%. So play with those numbers if it applies to you. So we've talked about the importance of saving. We've talked about some of your options where we've said you have 401ks at work, 403bs, IRAs, Roths, Roth 401ks, all kinds of traditional retirement accounts, and there are some tax credits for you. We have another call on line one. We have Brian from Phillipsburg. Hi, Brian. Can you hear me?
Hi, yeah.
Hi, how can I help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, great.
I just opened up a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And I have a whole bunch of questions.
Okay.
I'm wondering, I have an existing stock portfolio, and I've heard about people talking about moving things into a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. Is that something I could do with existing stock? Or
no, I think you have to put cash in. I think you may be able to take a distribution out of it in kind, but you cannot, I do not believe you can distribute in kind. I think if you convert from an IRA to a Roth IRA, there may be an option to do it in kind as well. But you got to be careful about moving things like that. So basically, if you have a Roth IRA that you've established,
right,
and you have earnings, and in 2013 you made at least $5,500 and you're under 50, you could put cash into the Roth up until April 15th of 2014 for 2013. And you have to put that like on your check. But I don't believe you can move a stock because, in essence, you have to sell it. They're not going to let you move something that may have a gain in it.
Right. So it'd have to pay the capital gain
right,
by selling
right,
the stock and then move that money into.
Right. That's okay. Why they don't let you move it in kind.
Right. Yeah, I've already funded it for 2013. I just started it for
okay.
2013.
Another
confusion that I had was, okay, so I've got this money in the Roth IRA. I start investing in things. Eventually, down the line, when I sell that,
mm-hmm.
does that gain? I know it's tax-free in some sense, but
mm-hmm.
would whatever I sell, does that count as income in the year that I sell it? Or
no, no. So what happens with the Roth IRA, it can go along year after year after year, and you could be investing, you could have dividends, you could have interest in it, you could have capital gain distributions in it from the mutual funds that you're investing in. You could be selling the mutual funds, you could be buying new things. All of that activity in the Roth IRA doesn't get reported at all. Same thing that happens in a regular IRA. None of that activity gets reported ever. What happens when you go to take distributions out? So if you hold it the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half, you can take it all out and not pay any income tax on any of it. If there's gains or anything, no income tax. The longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. But Brian, you can always take out your original contribution. So let's
right.
pretend you put in $5,000, $5,000, $5,000, $5,000 for 4 years. You have $20,000 of contributions in. And let's say in 4 years, you're only age 40. And in 4 years, you say, oh, shoot, my Roth has grown to $24,000. I just had a flood in my basement and I need $20,000 and I have no other money. You could take out that original $20,000 without any penalties, no matter what your age is, because it's your original contribution. So the IRS set up a tiering system and they said you can always take out your original contribution. And none of the consequences of the gains, the losses, the income, or anything comes out until you take out a qualified distribution, which is the longer of 5 years or 59 and a half, and none of it's taxable.
And none of it's taxable.
Right. If you take it out sooner than that, Brian, then you would pay income tax on the earnings and a penalty for early withdrawal. Just on the earnings, though, not on the original contributions.
Not on the original. All right. Great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Really
have a good
love
night.
Your show.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Bye. I love the shows where people call and ask questions because for me it's fun, you know? Yeah. And I love, you know, showing how much I know. It's like the problem again of being fifth of six children, constant need for attention. So I thank everyone for calling tonight. These have been great questions. And again, I'll continue to try to have shows where we can answer tax questions and information like this. And I love how the questions this evening have dovetailed into the retirement accounts, but also great questions that dovetail into income tax as well. Now, if you heard me answer Brian's question, you heard me say that he has until April 15th of 2014 to fund a Roth or a traditional IRA for 2013. Why is that? Well, the IRS recognizes that there are certain income limitations and rules around whether or not we can fund IRAs and Roth IRAs, depending on if we work, does our spouse work, do we have a retirement plan at work? Because folks, if you are an active participant in a retirement plan at work and you make over a certain amount of money, you may not be eligible to do a traditional IRA. And if you make even more money, you may not be eligible to do the Roth. So I gave those income limitations for a Roth, and it's a little bit more complicated if you work or are an active participant in order to do a traditional IRA. But sometimes people don't know if they're going to be over the limits or not until they do their tax return, right? So it makes sense that the IRS gives us until April 15th of the year following to make a contribution for the prior year. You have to make sure that when you talk to your custodian, if you are making a contribution, that they have identified what year the contribution was for. Because maybe in 2013, I worked, I had earnings, and I was eligible to make the contribution. And then, whoops, something happened in 2014, and I lost my job, and I couldn't make the contribution. I didn't have enough earnings. That's why you want to make sure that you earmark it for the year that you know you would be entitled to do it. Some people will do automatic direct deposit or withdrawal out of their account into an IRA. Just watch that if you start getting near the income limitations, because you can do it, but it's a little bit of a pain to kind of reverse an IRA contribution when you weren't eligible to do it. And it generates certain tax documents that can be a little bit of a pain to have to kind of navigate on your tax return or your tax software. So the IRS, though, does give us time, again, until April 15th. And some things we can even reverse up to the extension due dates of returns, like Roth conversions. So they give us some time after year end to reverse mistakes that we may have made. The reason you want to reverse them timely is sometimes we can have a 50% penalty for excess accumulations in retirement accounts. So you don't want to let them sit there too long. And sometimes there's another penalty that's like 6%. So kind of depends on what's happening. Folks, we're getting very close to the end of the show. It went very fast. I really thank everyone for calling in. I love the callers. I love the listeners. And it really makes such a difference for me to hear your questions and to be able to help and feel like I'm making a difference. Next week, as I mentioned, we will have Kevin Brogius on the show. He is a CFP, CPA, MBA, PFS. He's all kinds of things. And we're going to talk about what to consider when creating a portfolio. Kevin came to us previously through the PICPA and our connections with the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. So we like to give them a plug as well. You can always go on their website anytime, picpa.org. They have lots of consumer information around tax preparation. So check that out. I want to thank Judy Ann for taking the calls this evening. Thank the listeners for calling in. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. Stay tuned for Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.